All right, welcome to the Three Best Friends Podcast, which is no longer called the Three Best Friends Podcast. It is now the Bromuda Triangle. So you are entering the Bromuda Triangle. Today we have on Phil Nacionales. We're going to find out what he actually does for a living. We're also going to talk about the NWA movie, how to not get in fights, and weird Uber rides. We're also going to open it up to listeners to name Jeff's fantasy football team. So make sure you sit back and enjoy this one.
Welcome to what is formerly known as Three Best Friends Podcast. And I say formally because we have opened it up to our social medias to give it a little name change. And that name change came courtesy of Jared Fortner at JFortner4, for those wondering if you want to go stalk him on social media. But shout out to Jared. We appreciate this suggestion, and we are now known as the Bromuda Triangle.
The Bromuda Triangle.
In our beautiful conversation.
That's good stuff.
Real talk, though, that's an awesome name for a podcast, dude.
It literally, we were struggling for, a week and a half trying to figure out exactly what to do and which way to go and which suggestion was the best. And then this one came up, and we all just sort of eyes lit up.
I'm actually really surprised that y'all didn't come up with that name beforehand.
I know
that shit was when I saw the name change and when he sent it over to me. I laughed for a pretty good like 2 or 3 minutes, and Michelle's like, "What the hell's so funny?" And I'm like, "They changed the name of their podcast to the Bromuda Triangle." I was like, "Okay, see, it should have been that. Should have been that."
There's been a lot of positive responses to that. So
definitely,
yeah.
I'm digging it. Good job, Jared. Way to go. And
so, shout out. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate
big shout
it
out.
A lot.
We got a prize for you, and it was that shout out. So, there you go. Thanks.
You're
for
welcome.
That.
And hopefully, you'll actually hear that shout out, because unlike when we first recorded this podcast, I fucked up royally and deleted it. So that's why you never heard it, but we'll be good this time around, I'm sure.
Let's hope. So far, this podcast feels a little cursed, because there was one round and my audio crapped out about, 20 minutes in? We were legitimately into the podcast.
Hey, what's crazy too, that I noticed that happened to mine too. My fucking GarageBand stopped recording.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. What's the policy on cussing? Because, we typically language.
Let me first say.
Is it open forum?
It's open forum, and if anybody is offended, they really shouldn't be listening to this anyway.
They should not be listening to this show, dude.
And before we go any further, you may have heard a sweet, succulent voice that you've never heard before, and that is coming from the beautiful vocal cords of Phil Nacionales, everybody.
Phil Nacionales. I wonder if we can get a crowd applauding right there. Let's just throw that in there.
Nah, you gotta put the crickets, dude. The crickets. I mean, to the cricket.
That's it.
It's like crowds at the Dodgers games, crickets.
Ooh.
Shots fired from the LA Times.
Shots fired.
And just so everybody knows, that's funny because Phil is from San Francisco Bay Area, Vallejo, I think. But now resides
in
LA. And took his San Francisco love with him.
I did. I really did, though.
And now he's a huge Dodger fan.
No, that'll never
happen. Didn't happen?
That shit will never happen.
Did I see a San Francisco hat in the Dodgers colors, though? Have I seen that on your head?
No. He has to blend
in. Yeah, you have. But that's here's the thing, though. It's camouflage. That trips people out. If I go to a Dodgers game, right, and we're playing San Francisco, and they see it, they kind of have to double take it, and it's like sacrilege to them.
So right.
Makes me feel better about myself for being,
Phil just likes to turn heads.
Yeah.
Mad head, son. Mad heads.
He's used to it from his amazing body, but now he does it for his hat.
For my hat, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Phil. viewing audience.
I've known these guys, Naveed, Jeff, and Jeremy, for, man, how long now?
Too long?
I feel like forever.
About eight years.
Too long.
Yeah.
Feels like forever.
We're like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We caused a lot of trouble with these guys. I worked with these guys on a number of different projects, from music videos to stuff like this, podcast stuff. And interestingly enough, it's like a group of creatives and homies that I don't think we're really, even though we kind of moved apart like in distance, we're still like all homies. So we'll always have fantasy football to tie us all together at the very least. Right, Naveed?
Absolutely.
Hey, actually, getting back to that, getting on that topic, Naveed, who won? You won the first time. All right,
I'm cutting you off.
I did. I won.
Phil's the reigning champ. Naveed's the champ before that. Fuck you both. I know it's coming, and that's just the first shots fired. I know.
First shots fired. We're gonna go back to this because we're still before we started recording the podcast. We started talking.
I'm still
about
real butthurt about it too. So
hey, our draft. That sounds like a third place butthurt right there.
Yeah, third place reigning two-time third place MVP. I was. Yeah, there's nothing clever I can come up. Just fucking third place. Yeah, whatever.
You know what it is? You just always got edged out by the one time the shitty team like had a dope like just. Maxed out.
No, I mean, not even a shitty team. It was in the playoffs, but I got beat by a fucking professional performance both times before making in the semifinals.
I believe it was record breaking.
Well, Asa set a record. That's the highest output he ever had for the first year. Last year, I got beat and both years I had the score that would have won the championship against whoever was there, being you two fuckers.
Which was me first year, Phil second year.
Yeah.
Phil.
Just want to clarify that.
Yeah. So
I think we also need to the social media folks out there that you guys are talking to, I think we need two more players to round the league out.
I gotta look
back at it. But I'd be down to pull some listeners in.
Well, if anybody's interested,
Jared earned a spot.
I think so. For sure. Definitely, if anybody else is interested. Just to drop the handles right now, since we did change the podcast name, we did change the social media handles. So you can now find us at Bromuda Tripod.
So classy.
That's Twitter and Instagram, at Bromuda Tripod. Not Bromuda, B-R-O, like bro. Like
B-R-O-Muda Tripod.
Tripod.
That's it.
Hey, do you guys have a logo yet?
It's actually being worked on, to be honest.
I have a really awesome idea for a logo.
What's the logo?
It's not going to be the... You know what? I'm going to draw it, and I'll send it to you, and maybe you guys...
It's going
to
be just three dicks.
I know this guy. It's going to be a dick penetrating a triangle.
It's like tip
three dicks
tip to
in
tip.
A row to make a triangle or
tip
something.
Tip.
Like the recycling sign, but with dicks.
Or like bent three bent dicks in the recycling sign.
All right, fair enough. We'll take a look, terrible. And if it works, then great.
Oh, man. I got so many ideas right now.
Wait, are dicks not normally bent?
Good question.
That's not a good question. They're always bent, aren't they? Better be. The angle to the left.
I already see
about a 30-degree angle, right?
This podcast 45. Will be flagged for...
45.
Yeah, we've definitely overstepped some boundaries.
That's overstepping some boundaries there.
Yeah.
We're not posting pictures. We're just giving very descriptive information.
Of Jeff's dick.
Of my dick. All right. Wait, how did we get on dick shape from introducing Phil?
Because we started talking about how we knew each other.
Dick's... Leads us right to that.
They led right to dicks. Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? What are the topics that we have?
We've done this podcast now two times. This is our third time doing this exact podcast.
This is our third time.
We had some major technical difficulties on my end, on Naveed's end. It sounds like Phil had some fuck-ups too. So this is round three. So we've talked about this before, but I still have no idea what Phil does.
All right.
He's explained this twice, and I still have no idea.
What's funny... is one of my one of our business partners. He's our business affairs guy. He was actually at the house yesterday, and he was like asking me, like, "What the fuck do you do for this company?"
So, people you work with have no idea what you do.
Yeah, and here's the here's the reason why. When I first was hired, I used to work at Golden Voice AG Live. Shout out to the folks that are still working on Coachella, even though I'm not there anymore. What I was hired to do over there was to actually create their entire content platform with their content director. So I was the one who fielded out all the photographers, all the videographers. We vetted them out. Anything that you see that's visual, whether it's photo or video, or even some of the illustration stuff, that kind of came from our team. Like Paul Cutler, he's no longer at Golden Voice as well. He retired. He's a guy who designed the posters. We got another homie, Trevor. He's kind of taken over that, but he designs the boxes. Like, all of that stuff kind of flows back and forth between various teams, and I help supply the video and photo content for that. Anything on social media, that's still my photography team on there. Shout out to at Oliver, shout out to at Brownio 215 or 205 Brownio 205, still active over there. So coming from like Golden Voice and AG, we did a lot of just content creation and for different channels like publication and social media. At the same time, I was also the editor at large for a music magazine called Herb. They transitioned from print over to digital, and I was part of the team that kind of led that over. I recently left there because of a conflict of interest with my new job, because we're kind of doing something similar. So now I work for this group called Arts Research and Entertainment, ARE Group, and they took me from not just being a content creator or content producer and kind of split my role out. So on the one end, my front-facing thing is I have to, you know, I put together all the content initiatives with our executive producer, Ari Pallets. On the second part of it, I'm brand-facing. So what I do is I go work with brands. Like, we recently acquired a partnership with a group called 3D Live Events. So they kind of creating not just content but also managing brand relationships now. So, you know, making sure that the content that we're doing and the work we're doing, it all stands in the same space and is good for both sides. And the new tertiary thing that I'm kind of starting to see that what we're doing is really working on workflow management and production management in terms of actually, like, one of the biggest things I learned working with Jeff and Avid on the last kind of set of music videos, especially on the Bento music video, shouts out to Bento, was we didn't have a process in place and we kind of just went off the cuff to make these things happen. And
while thinking that we knew more than we did.
While thinking, yeah, for sure. Because we were all fresh from school. We, you know, we had done a couple small films here and there. I'd come off with a Sundance film that I had helped edit. And so you have that kind of taste of, we know what we're doing. But really, what I find is no one in this industry knows what the fuck they're doing. So one of the big things that I'm working on now, outside of being a content producer and brand-facing kind of person, is actually putting our process down on paper. So it's, you know, I feel like we could write a book over our experiences. I mean, even just like Naveed's, the stuff that he's done in audio, and Jeff, what you've been doing now, like, it's really one of these things where I hate to say that we've gotten older about it, but process, that is the most important shit, like, on anything that you're doing, whether it's creative, like, if you're cooking something, hold on, let me close the door real quick. It wasn't your dog this time, Jeff.
Nope.
Hold on.
Oh, we lost Phil. Mid description. I was already getting lost with what he was saying. So,
I think he got too emotional.
Yeah,
I did. I started crying. But yeah, that's kind of what I do, Jeff. So, I still work in content production. I put together teams. I feel like that's just a thing, something that we've all been good at, especially in our cluster of folks.
But you don't consider really yourself a producer. That's usually a producer's role to round up the
team.
Yeah,
it's kind of like. You're right. It is kind of like that. I just don't like the term producer because when I think producer, I think, like, you know, to earn that kind of title, it's like being a Dr. Dre. Like, I'm not to the level of saying that I could be like a legit producer at this point, which is kind of weird because that's what people kind of will put me. They'll put me in that wheelhouse, but I feel like it takes years to really be called a producer. You can go to school to learn to be a producer, but it takes years to actually, you know, really know that job well and say that you earned that job. You know, there's no like doctorate program in on that side of the camera. So it's kind of this weird thing that I feel like you got to put your time in to earn that. Like, I know plenty of people that feel like they're producers and they have the skill set to do it, but really, you're just calling yourself that. You got maybe like two or three things under your belt, you know.
That's
like,
fair. But at the same, you know, but at the same time, like, if someone in your position, there's one. It's one thing to be overly confident and say that you are a producer when you're fresh out of school. I mean, you can't really say that unless you have a project or at least a couple projects under your belt where you can actually run the show and do the stuff. But at the same time, there's also underappreciating yourself by not calling yourself a producer when you're doing the work of four normal people. So
I totally get that. I think a lot of it just really has to go with the fact that I've worked with some really good producers and I see how they've carried themselves and that they don't like, you know, they'll call themselves a producer because that's what they have to be on paper. A couple examples, Ari Palitz, who I'm working with right now at ARA Group, this dude's fucking amazing, you know, never once calls himself a producer in EP, lets the work of his people kind of speak for himself. Same thing with another guy, and you guys should check this guy out, he's this dude's like on the cusp of blowing up, Michael Abbott, he's been around for a while, straight up like, his pops was a makeup artist, did a lot of like latex work, he kind of inherited that kind of like creative vision, and so he's a producer but in a different sense where, again, he'll let the work speak for itself, but he's not pressing himself like in the Hollywood standard of like, oh, you should fuck with me, I'm a producer.
Well, all the best producers started out as either artists or you know, they always came up through the ranks rather than just being a
and like, you know, it's always the worst producers are the ones that, oh, I could be a producer because I have money, or I could be a producer because I could just put these people together and they'll do the work.
I didn't even know that was a qualification. Kind of
that's what I'm saying.
Somebody can say I have money, I'm going to be a producer. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. That's what a lot of times when I hear the word executive producer, I think of that as you were given a title, or associate producer, you were given that title because you can buy yourself into it. Or
an executive producer title is basically just the biggest funder of the movie. That's movie or record or whatever it is.
And that's one of those things that gets thrown around a lot. I've noticed in the last 3 years that I've been working here, because of the fact that it's easy to make, I mean, not easy to make a film, but the building blocks to create films these days and to create content is so democratized. Like, anyone can, you know, go get a 60D or a 5D off the shelf and go start making films and stuff.
I disagree. So I think that the entry level to that is it's lower than it's ever been. But actually getting a film made and having somebody actually put the work in, whether it's a person or a team or whatever, it takes a lot to get made.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm kind of leading it to, is like, I feel like people think because they can do that, that they have earned that title.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, I'll say this, like, and I'm probably gonna, you know, hear about this later on, but, you know, one of the reasons why I left my old post, like, Coachella is one of the biggest brands in the world, and people were like, why the hell would you fucking leave there? And I feel like, hey, you know what, there's a plateau that's been reached, people gotta die for me to move forward. I'd rather go back out into the Wild West with the freedom to, like, act and not have to work with people who are like, oh, I'm a producer because I've been given this job, or I'm a producer because even though I don't – it might not be a money thing. Currency in Hollywood and especially in the content game and agency game, it's not about your money anymore. It's about who you can get to the table. So, you know, you're working at Coachella. You can take anyone to the table. And if you're at the top of that, nobody's fucking with you, you know. And sometimes people that are given that role, even though, you know, they were successful at one thing and think they can be successful at another thing, it doesn't always work that way. And I didn't want to be part of that, you know, like, it's just, that's not how we work. You know, like, I saw myself kind of being drawn down this alley of, oh, well, if it works for him, then I could do that. But, you know.
All right. So serious question for you, like, and this, I don't want to get you in trouble with this, but did AEG's system seem antiquated because, you know, it's so much.
It's old school.
It's old school. It's people, it's not, given a title, so they're making decisions when they may not know anything about it.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it is. It's AEG owns Access TV. They own Golden Voice. They just bought out like three or four more huge properties that like people will start knowing about, and it's, you know, fairly soon. But what happens is when you're stuck in this old model of like creating content or production. And, like, the people that are on top aren't necessarily, like, they're visionary creatives. Paul Tillett, Bill Fold, Skip Page, the guys that started Golden Voice, Paul Cutler, you know, those guys. Those guys are legitimately superstars. And it's hard to, like, maintain the momentum you have as a superstar. Like, they're going, what, 20, 25 years, almost 30 years of work. Eventually, what's going to happen is behaviors that you had through the course of that time with the people that you work with, that becomes a concrete system by which you have to work with. You can't scale up and down anymore. So you have to constantly be at this level. What's happening and what I'm noticing, especially with the guys that I work with, there's 50 different agencies that do what we do, but really what makes you different is, one, can you scale forward and back? Like, you know, when we do Live Nation and Rock Nation tours, and it's easy for us to do that, and it's just as easy to do that now as for me, as to do it like a smaller show, you know? Like, we can go do a show at Mocha. Like, the way that it works at these huge places like Live Nation or AEG or whatnot, it's a problem on being able to scale up and down and make that profitable.
Okay.
You know? I feel like it's really now about smaller agencies working with other smaller agencies that specialize in different things and making that kind of work for them, you know? Jeff, you could totally speak on this. Like, think about, like, how many different teams it takes just on the VFX side for one film to be done. It's all about small agencies working with small things.
Oh, absolutely,
to create something
yeah.
bigger.
Well, depending on the size of the movie and the budget of the movie, I've worked with teams as small as me and one other person, and I've worked with teams right now working on Batman vs. Superman. In my department alone, there's 80 people working on this, and that's just one step in the visual effects pipeline. So
right. Exactly.
It can scale.
The models, it's changed. It's changed. And what happens is when you put an antiquated process against the stuff that you're doing or the stuff that we're doing, we're going to win 9 times out of 10. And 9 times out of 10, that one time we win, it's because they have more money to throw at it than we do. You know, that's how I feel about this. People are going to say, like, oh, you're fucking out of your mind for doing this. But I have a whole fucking 4 months of work that speaks otherwise now. You know, like, we wouldn't be running as fast as we are if I didn't believe in.
All right, so what are you working on these days? Like, can you talk about what you're
things.
Working on? Or
most of the stuff that we could talk about is hard NDA'd. I could say that we're going to be doing the biggest sound build at Burning Man ever in the history of Burning Man. We just bought up a VR studio. You're going to see some really major shit come out in the next 3 months. We got folks like U2 attached, Rihanna attached to us now. There's going to be some crazy, you know, stay tuned. I'm sure that we'll be talking again on another podcast, but there's a lot of things coming down the pipe. Super Bowl is another one of them, like, that we could probably talk about now. Like, we're moving. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're smaller. We could pull other folks into play, like other agencies to work with. Like, what's cool about the company that I work with now is if your foundation is based on creating a family of, like, creatives and producers, there's nothing stronger than that bond. Instead of just, like, versus another company that's, like, all about, like, I'm going to sign the top people. Because all-star teams, like, that I've seen that I've worked with, they try to sign the best of the best. But if there's no chemistry, it doesn't work. It's like, I mean, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like the Giants got chemistry. They're always going to have legs. They're not the best players out there, but they work and cover the holes of whatever the other player's not, you know, like, whatever someone's not good at. Granted, we're still 2 games back, but you look at the Dodgers, they should be 10 games up, considering the money that they've spent to, like, you know, you could try to buy your way to a championship, but I guarantee you, it doesn't work that way. Not in the real world anymore. So it's
very interesting.
Yeah, you know? Or it's like, you know, Jeff could try to, like,
I'm buying my fantasy football team this year. I'm putting money down.
Are you?
I'm bribing Brownio.
You're bribing down? You're bribing down? You're bribing Brownio?
You're still going to end up in third. Here.
I know.
Fuck it.
How
fucking
funny would
guys.
That be, dude? I would laugh.
Hey, if you spent hella money and then ended up in third.
Yeah.
I would laugh so hard. Hey, I would really, I will, like, chisel out of bronze your face to put on a trophy. If you get third place again, that would be so funny.
You can't capture this in bronze. I got beautiful little curls.
You know,
I got the beard.
It
got
to be platinum. It's got to be a platinum trophy.
And also, if you tried to capture it now, it would take a lot of fucking bronze. God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another shout out to our future episode when we're going to do our weight loss challenge.
Are we doing that? I'm down for that.
It's happening real soon. Yeah. because
we're gonna do that, and we're opening it up to all the viewers / listeners.
Yeah, before and after pictures.
Hey, Naveed, we could do the Hollywood Coke diet and just never eat. Yeah. Just be coked out all day.
All right, you run that one. Hey, actually, you run that one. You run the control on that, and we'll see how that works.
Oh, hell no. That'll be terrible.
Yeah, let us know how that goes.
You tell us how that happens.
All you see is, like, my eyes will be hella big on the video. Like, yo, I'm losing so much weight, son. I can't eat anything, but I can't breathe
next,
either. It's
next time
weird.
Phil comes on, he's going to be Tyrone Biggums.
Oh, hell no. Beaumont Livingston, son. Beaumont Livingston.
But, yeah, I just found out that I may be going to a Club Med reunion tour in October. So,
right.
So this weight loss thing is no longer... Well, not a tour. It's like a reunion get-together at Club Med and Turks and Caicos. But it's like everybody from all the Club Meds that's ever worked there.
Ever.
Well, if they can make it. But I heard you were basically you were added on to the staff because you got along with everybody so well. Is that right, Naveed? When you were there?
That is probably fair to say. I went there for a week and...
no way.
Naveed went to the club that I used to work at.
Really?
Yeah, about what?
Yeah.
A couple years after I was
It was
there.
All like... I spent maybe $100 there.
Yeah.
Because it was like a fat friends and family discount.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. But yeah, Turks and Caicos in October. So this weight loss challenge is no longer just for fun. It's got some serious shit behind it.
You got to get on that. You got to get on that shit that Dr. Dre or The Rock is on, man. Like, how the hell?
Dude,
like,
they are jacked.
Yeah, that's getting ridiculous.
Hey, man. Like, The Rock, come on. Hey, I'm a fan of the dude. I watch wrestling still. Like, hey.
You know what it is.
But how the fuck
you
is he two times bigger than when
$100 bills
was,
and inject them directly into your muscles.
Damn, son. Like, even in the, you guys watch Ballers?
Yeah.
Yo, I love
that
show.
That's my favorite show right now. But, like, there's that scene where he's lifting weights. I swear to you, like, he had two midgets in his chest. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did he get so jacked? How did that happen? Like,
hey, and he's, like, 40-something, too. Like,
yeah,
dude is not
50.
Young.
He's not pushing
Same
50.
Thing with Dr. Dre. Yeah, he's pushing
Seriously?
50, dude. He's in his mid-40s.
Damn.
Same thing with Dr. Dre. He was on a television thing over here, like, you know, kind of talking about Straight Outta Compton, and he's like, "Yo,
yeah, I did the Kush video a couple years ago, and I missed him coming into the studio by one day. I started one day after he came in to talk to everybody.
Damn, that's crazy.
But
damn.
The only thing anybody talked about for like weeks afterwards was how yoked Dr. Dre had gotten, because he used to be kind of doughy. Back when he first came out with Nothing But a G Thing and that whole
during the
first Chronic album, he was a little bit of a doughboy, and that dude is just jacked.
Yeah, man. I think it's like you're rich, so you got time to do shit like that, or you got a good steroid.
I mean,
or
when
HGH
you when you can up. Afford to buy the right foods, get the right trainer, take the time off of work to spend 3 hours in the gym a day. I think
you buy all the needles.
Yep.
And they probably got
the things
best
go in
shit.
The needles, all of that stuff. It,
and nobody's testing them.
Yeah,
like, they
no
never have to be worried
not trying
about
to make the Hall
performance.
Of Fame.
Yeah.
They've got no Hall of Fame that has any kind of rules against taking steroids or anything.
And
it's funny
It helps that they're black. Let's just say it how it is.
You're fucked up, too.
For real, though?
They're always
are black. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, what about Brock Lesnar?
There may be a genetic predisposition to be a little bit thicker, a little bit more cut, but it's not just
a race
thing.
But The Rock, though.
But The Rock's Samoan, too.
He's Samoan,
too,
you know?
Samoan dudes, I've never seen a small Samoan dude.
No, hell no. They like, punch trees and shit to, like, get food. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I have a bunch of Samoan friends. If they heard me say that, they're gonna be at my house right now. Like, hey,
why? For saying they punch
we don't
trees?
Punch the trees. We shake them, son. We shake them.
We're not violent people.
Yeah.
Now take that back. As they shake down you at your house,
but they don't punch him. They just shake him.
Hey, did you guys peep the Compton album?
I've heard a couple tracks, but I haven't heard the whole album.
That album is magic.
Is
it
really?
So
it's
good.
Fire. It's man, some of these kids that Dre picked up on there, like, it's crazy to see, like, I mean, Kendrick, I knew he was going to shine on that because he kills Deepwater.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it's so, that's an easy he's one. Throwing mad subliminals the whole time to Drake, too, if you really pick, like, listen to it again and pick up some of that stuff. Like, the, there's been a couple dope, like articles where it, there's, like, this kind of side-eye kind of thing going on between them. But I don't think anyone trying to fuck with Drake after that Meek Mill thing because he murdered that dude. Man, he murdered off a PowerPoint presentation, man. Like, that's just fucked up. Like, he didn't even have to drop the third diss track. He didn't even have to drop the third diss track. It was like, oh, it's done.
And now Meek Mills is getting booed at his own concerts.
Oh, wow, I know.
Really?
Yeah, there's this thing. It was on Wired, I think, where they talked about how they charted the ticket sales and ticket price drop. Like, when the beef started.
Did you say his ticket sales just sharted?
Like, when it first started, they were talking like about, like, where fart? The, yeah, pretty much. Like, it's crazy. They did the math on the tickets. And, like, they show this graph about, like, they use Sam Smith as a constant. Like, he's, you know, he's pretty much, like, they know what he's going to sell at. And then he used the tour with, because it's him and Nicki Minaj. And they just, you see this, like, crazy downward slope, like. Like, nobody's buying tickets to his show. Like, it wasn't that he just murdered him on, like, on wax. It was, like, a whole, like, he ain't making money. You know what I'm saying?
It's a
like,
movement now.
That shit's crazy.
That's insane. That shit's crazy. I heard about the diss track, but I haven't heard it, actually. So, I'm gonna have to do some research on this.
I mean, it's basically, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. Because, like, you know, when I think of a diss track, I think, like, No Vaseline, where Ice Cube was going at, like, NWA or The Bridge Is Over, like, they came at you hard. Dude, Meek Mill got murdered by a singing-ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's hey, the softest way.
Careful
like,
what you say.
And he didn't even say his name.
Careful what you say.
He was all subliminal. He didn't even say his name.
Wow.
No, not at all. It was like, I mean, and the thing that's funny is Drake opened the first one like, you about to get murdered by a singing-ass nigga. Like, damn. Like, come on. Like, he straight 8 Mile
them. That's that 8 Mile shit right there.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's another one, too. Like, if we're gonna jump down that tangent, who is not going to see NWA with Eminem, like, live? That is going to be crazy, yeah. I think. Yeah. I'm kind of excited.
Speaking of which, you mentioned the Straight Outta Compton movie. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
What'd you think?
I feel like
without telling us the plot, because I'm still looking forward to seeing.
There's
that.
Definitely for me. There's
I haven't seen
like
it either yet.
Revisionist. There's some kind of, you know, and that's the thing. It's Hollywood. Hollywood's always going to push you towards the more like positive part of like whatever anyone's story is. But I feel like, you know, Easy wasn't portrayed in the same light as Dre and Cube. I mean, everybody did their dirt. You know what I'm saying? But like it felt like they kind of painted him as the villain.
Who?
Not necessarily that he's yeah. You know, like, not necessarily that he's a villain, but, like, he's definitely not the, he's not as big of a hero as the other two guys are, you know? Plus, he's dead, so it's, like, it's hard for him to fucking say anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's...
Right, and the other two are still funding the movie.
They're the executive producers.
Yeah. I mean, I guarantee you, their estates are way bigger than what Eazy-E got, you know? That being said, man, Ice Cube's son, straight up... Is Ice, like, he's legitimate. He played his dad, like, to a T. It's pretty
Oh,
crazy.
Really? Oh, that was his kid.
That's his kid.
That's his kid.
Ice Cube Jr. Yeah. But one of the things I want to talk about, though, is why didn't talk about the Mexican member of NWA? You know what I'm saying? Crazy D. There's this article that came out on Remezcla, and they kind of talk about how this was the dude who actually wrote, he did Dope Man. He wrote Most of Easy Does It. And he's, like, just gone. And he came out recently and said that he has 10 of the group's unreleased tracks. And, like, he's finally kind of getting it put out there. But, like, you know, interesting reading, though, man. There's a lot of articles about, like, what happened to the dudes from NWA and the Posse. And, like, it's definitely – it's worth a check out now that's coming – it's becoming more relevant.
There'll probably be some shit that comes out, like, comes to the surface.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Like, you know, and I remember this as a kid, like – watching this, like, you know, back in the day we had Yo MTV Raps, we had rap TV shows, you know, and I remember like that big thing when Dre had pushed that female reporter, like, basically fucked her up because she was trying to start more beef between them and Ice Cube. Like, they don't talk about that in the movie. Like, you know, he has a history of, and he even apologized for his history of, like, kind of being you know, disrespecting females and being lightweight, like, misogynistic and, like, kind of like those kind of
who
things.
Dre did?
They don't talk about that stuff. Yeah. That's a big thing. That's a big part of his history.
Yeah, I remember. I remember a couple years ago when he made the, what was the album after the second Chronic 2001. But he was talking to his wife, and his wife said, you know, you have to do the things that sell records, even, you know, whether you want to talk about women that way or, right. You know, he was trying to stop using the word bitch. He was trying to watch what he was saying, being misogynistic, being racial and everything else.
Yeah.
And none of it would sell. What was that? What was his album? Dr. Dre Presents
something. The Aftermath.
Oh, it was the Aftermath. The Aftermath.
Yeah. There was one track that I liked way back when, but it, for the most part, it was pretty bad. And because I think it was because he was trying to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, man. Like, it's kind of fucked up that I'm glad that the movie's out and it's getting people talking about that period of history, not just for like NWA itself, but it really, if you really look at that time of like the mid '80s, it really was that fucked up.
You
could go back to watching Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society, and people are like, oh, that's some movie shit. And while it is a lot cleaner now, you know, you could take that whole, like, lesson and story and put that right on top of shit going on in, like, Ferguson and, like, in Texas, in parts of Texas. It's the same. It's kind of fucked up that it's still that cyclical. But, again, it's one of those things, like, they touch upon it, but they put that Hollywood gloss on it, you know? Yeah. That being said, if y'all gonna watch the movie, go watch Dope. That movie was,
dude. That movie was so good,
so good. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I mentioned that before. I mentioned that in a prior podcast.
Dude, hey, what did you think about ASAP in that movie?
I mean, ASAP played ASAP.
Hey, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
that's what he knows.
Like, he just did. He's him, dude. Like,
he didn't have to do anything. Dope. Hey, how bad did you want to be the lead character's friend?
Oh hell yeah, that's real talk.
I wanted to hang out with that dude immediately.
Yeah. He just seemed like the dude, though, like, if we were hanging out, we would be those dudes that would push that over the edge, and we'd really get into some, like, bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I would find the backpack.
With Naveed there? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but Naveed there, shit's going down.
Oh, yeah. Why? But here's the thing, Jeff, why are you trying to put Naveed in this negative Hollywood light? Like, he's
I'm
bad
not putting
to hang
him anywhere.
Out with.
I'm just,
like, I'm the easy dude in the room.
That's fucked up. But yeah, that's real talk, man. Like, that's definitely a movie to check out if you can still find it playing anywhere. Yeah, man.
It was well worth the money.
I kind of wanted to see it again, but I'm definitely going to be maybe not torrenting that.
Maybe not. Also, you know, one of the homies that I went to school with, I went to high school and everything, and he was like actually like my good friend in elementary school and whatnot. Blake Anderson, he's in the movie, so
no
he's
way.
Part of Workaholics and everything like that.
Oh yeah, hey, you went to school with him,
bro? Him and Kyle, like
no
you
way.
Do you know? Them?
I see that dude all the time.
Next time you just see like him, tell out. Him. Tell him Naveed says what's up.
And we want him on the podcast.
See what happens.
I mean, we could make that happen, dude. Asa and Chris are pretty good friends with him. Chris especially. You know, I don't think Naveed's met Chris, but you know Carrasquillo, right, Jeff? Yeah, they're like their homies or something like that. But
dude, I would love to get back in contact with him. That's my goal, is to get back in contact with him.
It's hella funny because I feel like he's just never, like, not high. I mean, that could just be me. But, like, he's hella
That's
funny,
how he broke
though,
his
like.
Back, though.
No way.
So, you heard that story, right?
Yeah.
I haven't. Tell it.
All right, so he had a party. This is, like, right fresh off the Workaholics fame. And he threw a party. And Tyler, the Creator, was over at the party. So, you know it was just going to be a shit show.
Oh, that's going to be fucked up.
And they were playing beer pong. And then Tyler, the Creator's like, yo, slam dunk it off the roof. And Blake was like, all right. So he got onto the roof of this fucking house and jumped onto the beer pong table and like broke his back.
Oh my God.
Like the day, 2 days before Christmas or some shit.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
It was on TMZ. Yeah. And that's how I knew he made it, because he was on TMZ.
Okay, that's pretty fucked up.
That's an awesome. I mean, that's a shitty outcome, but that's a pretty awesome story.
That is a pretty story. That's one of those ones like you got to save that story for like when you're really fucked up.
Let me tell you about the time I broke my back jumping off the roof.
on a dare by Tyler the Creator. That's pretty good right there. Right on. That's really all you have to say, yeah. And it's an amazing story.
I mean, just broke her back, period, is like, you broke her back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, right. and quick, a serious question, though. Blake is the one that looked like Shaun White used to?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, that's just mean.
Why? Just big, crazy, curly red hair.
Just because they're both white, Jeff. Don't that's be racist.
Up, dude.
It's a white thing? Yeah, I don't think it's a white thing. I think it's the big-ass red hair.
That's true.
Hey, so I was looking at my yearbook, and I was seeing pictures of that fool. It's hella funny.
Does he still have the huge red hair?
He had a little baby fro.
Was it like the baby Jim Pope fro?
Hey, I think
you guys have seen that dude, right?
You said you saw him in a picture, but it didn't quite look like
dude,
that guy.
It's him, dude. It's him. Because you know when you know somebody and the dude's trying to avoid you because he knows like how he knows you. You know,
but his pants weren't tight enough. Maybe Jim Pope would wear some tight ass fucking like.
And he was the original
white 70s pants.
He was the original slim jeans dude.
Yeah,
he was. He started it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So what's next coming up with you, Jeff? Other than after Superman and Batman?
I actually can't say. It's that hush hush. But I am booked for two more big feature films after that. So I'm basically booked until summer 2016. Which is a brand new experience to me because I'm used to working a week at a time on commercials or
right.
TV shows or small little projects. So this feature films thing is pretty dope. I got to say.
It is. That's tight. That's tight.
Yeah.
Hey, Naveed, I just came up with a dope because, like, you know how as champions, right, from fantasy football.
We got to stick together.
We never really put because you guys lost, we can do this to you thing.
Right. I didn't get to do that last year.
I feel like because we both didn't do that yet, we should put it out to your listeners that they can name Jeff's team because he's been third place twice.
No. Third place isn't worth that. Third place doesn't deserve that. That's not a sacko.
On the real,
third place doesn't worth a sacko.
No, third place.
Why not?
Third place
is
the
great idea.
Right?
You know what? I'm open to that. They can name my team, but it's not because I got third place. Fuck y'all both for that.
Okay, so we'll take best suggestions on the Twitters and the IGs.
And I'll let Naveed decide which is the best one.
Oh, I'm with
Ooh.
That, dude.
There you go.
Careful what you wish for.
There you go.
Oh,
what's it,
man.
What's his team name again? The Gotham Knights?
Nah, I was the Mean Machine last year.
The Mean Machine. Oh, this is going to get...
This is going to get vulgar.
This is going to get...
It's going to be ugly. I'm keeping control of my icon, though. The icon is me.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That's fine. That's fair. But...
And who was it that had to change their icon to a rainbow dick on the side of the thing for losing a side bet? Was it Oliver?
I think it was Oliver.
Hey, this is real talk. No more side bets that aren't done. Like, you got to put them in the forum.
All right.
So that everyone can enforce on that, right?
I agree.
Because we had a bunch of side bets going on, and I was like, there's no way anyone's going to enforce that. Because I lost a couple side bets, and I'm like, ain't nobody going to enforce that. So, I backed out of a bet, but it was one of those ones that it's like, this is one of those ones that could get me in trouble at work. You know? Yeah. You got to say, I can't do that one, guy.
There's got to be a line. There's tasteful pranks that are just embarrassing, and then there's the ones that can legitimately
the
get
ones
you fired.
That you could get, I could get fired for this
the
one.
The ones that you could end right. up in
those
the hospital.
The ones that are really bad are the ones we're asking for Jeff's punishment. So if you have anything,
do it up. Name my team something that's going to get me fired. Do it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Because so
I guarantee
I'll
be checking my
answer,
fantasy football team at work. So,
right.
I mean,
the real answer.
Let's be real though. When you and I'm gonna put this out to anyone listening to this, like when you play fantasy football, there's a certain level of like OCD that kind of comes over people. I'm fucking way guilty of this, where I'm constantly checking my shit.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's, like, not even
gaming. Oh, my girlfriend will tell you the same thing. She fucking hates me on
Sunday. Tinker stinker. That's what it is, yeah.
Tinker stinker.
It's not just Sunday.
Sure.
It's Wednesday when you actually have to set up your team, and then Thursday is the first game, and then Friday is the day to set up the rest of your team, and then making all your trades
and
everything
Sunday,
else.
And then Monday.
And there's Sunday.
Depending
and Monday.
On what happens on Sunday, you have Monday. And then you really, that's the day that really
and
fucks
then,
you
and
up.
Then Tuesday you're depressed because there's really nothing to do. Yeah, it's...
Nah, you're all man. Depressed.
Yeah.
Tuesday is usually the day where I start talking shit, though. So,
hey, there we go.
Because it's boring. Because it's boring.
Yeah, it is. Like, there's nothing to do because you don't change your
but
team
you know
until
what,
Wednesday.
Last year, there wasn't a lot of shit talking.
There was not nearly enough shit talking.
No.
There was enough.
It was more
man
private.
To man, but not enough on the forum.
Man to man shit talk, but not on the forum. We got to open that shit back up. Because the first year, there was a lot of mean shit talking on the forums.
Maybe we need to do some social media shit talking too, so that everybody can see, not just the league.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, I'm down for that. We can do that. We should just make a Twitter account just for our fantasy football team and just all follow that and just hit that shit.
There you go.
It's called you know at Bermuda Tripod.
I'm totally down with that, dude. That would be fucking funny.
Well, we talk about fantasy football enough on this podcast that we may as well give our listeners up.
Hey, you know what? We should get a bunch of the folks that are playing and do a fucking straight up like draft analysis. You know what I'm saying? Nope.
Yeah, that'll totally get listeners.
Yeah.
We got like
I don't know about a draft analysis, but we can.
But we should
we do some live shit talking during the draft.
Some live shit talking. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That would be some funny ass shit.
Because I feel like all right. So I got a comment today about the podcast from somebody, and they actually said that my story from Vegas is what hooked them, and it was just this weird random bullshit that I talked. And I think
it's a pretty good story, though. It's a pretty good fucking story. But, yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like if we do just mad talk, shit talking to each other, I feel like somebody would enjoy
that.
That
shit's funny, dude. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, when you watch homie shit talk, it's like the funniest shit to watch.
Yeah.
You know? Like, most of the time. Sometimes it's like.
But between us.
He might cry later on. You know
what I'm saying? And then we say one more thing.
And you take it just that one step too far, yeah.
Hey, because we've done that a couple times, like, especially like, you know, with like our homeboy Asa, like there's been times where I'm like, oh, we might have pushed this shit way too far. Like, and
he always comes back around, it's fine.
Oh yeah, that's real talk. But you know, it is that thing where we do tend to push that
But let's be real. This is how it goes down. Oh shit, we might have pushed that too far.
Oh yeah,
ah,
but it's
it.
Always after the fact.
Fuck it,
like,
let's do one
shit.
More. Let's see what too far really is.
Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing though? That's really.
Nah, I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think so either.
Nah, I mean going too far is like Jeff coming in not third. It just never is gonna happen.
Man.
All right, that's enough. I'm bringing it up again. Naveed has never beaten me head-to-head. It doesn't take away his trophy. Doesn't put one on my shelf. But there's never been a time that Naveed has beaten me head-to-head. And his championship would be mine if Asa didn't have the game of his life. So I'm just sounding like a pouty little bitch right now. But I'm sticking to that.
Absolutely.
You've never beaten me head-to-head. And you never will.
Hey, I'm just giving you enough rope to hang yourself right now because you sound like a little bitch.
Never gonna beat
to this. Hey, you know what? That's a dope name for if anyone wants to turn that in. The pouty little bitches.
God damn baby it. Back bitches.
Yeah. Good shit. Yeah, that should be
Jeff
that
and his
be,
baby back bitches.
Baby back bitches. Yeah. Yeah,
it's from
that's real talk.
From the same movie as my last team name. The Mean Machine comes from
the
Longest
the
Yard. Although the original one with Burt Reynolds, not with shitty Adam Sandler.
Well, maybe since you didn't pick the good movie, you only got third.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the Giants are getting in that ass. Sorry, guys. I'm watching the Gamecast right now because they don't show Giants games on regular TV here. So I got to bootleg them on my computer. Another thing that I'll never get used to, like, you know, like when you go to Target and they have that section of, like, whatever the sports team is. I'm used to seeing
the
like,
local
the
teams.
And the A's. it's weird. Like over here, it's like Dodgers, Clippers, and then USC. Like they, I forget that they don't have a professional football team out here, so they're confused as to what they should have.
They're about to have two.
You think so, though? Yeah. You really think that's going to go
Chargers
down?
And Raiders. Like, it's all but...
I don't think the Raiders are kind of... They're not moving down here, is it?
Yeah, because Oakland won't build them a new stadium. And L.A. That's has already retarded. Put the plans out there.
That's retarded. Yeah.
And the Davis family is all about money, so... Fuck the legacy.
Yeah. Didn't used to be. Yeah, right? Used to be just win, baby, win. Not anymore.
Well, so. I thought the Rams were. I thought it was the Chargers and the Rams.
Nah, Chargers and Raiders. The Rams. Nah, Chargers the Rams were stay. Thinking about it, but the St. Louis bought them a brand new stadium, or are building them a brand new stadium, and the Chargers are coming up too because their stadium is way out of date, and San Diego doesn't want to put up the money either.
Yeah, I've actually been out there, man. That stadium is. It's like going to Oco lightweight.
Yeah,
but for me, Oakland though is like a legit baseball park. You know, like it's a.
Well,
it's not. The A's aren't leaving. Terrible.
Yeah, I was trying to be positive, Naveed. Trying to be positive.
That shit is terrible. Yeah. You might get tetanus going into that park.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely something that could happen. And it's still got the trough. Do they still have the troughs over there? I haven't been in one game at Oco in a while.
Absolutely. You stare over at 15 dicks when you're taking a piss.
Damn, sorry, you're making me cry.
I don't usually turn my head when I'm taking a leak, but...
Fuck.
Whatever you like, Naveed.
I mean, but you can't. Hey,
you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Like, yeah, because you don't want someone.
That's true.
You don't want someone just pissing on you. You know what I'm saying?
Peeing on you, stabbing you. It is Oakland.
Yeah,
and that's that part of Oakland.
The best. The best is when you see drunk guys go up to it, thinking that's where you wash your hands.
Hey, I've seen that shit happen,
every
dude.
Game. It happens every game.
Hey, Jeff. You know the bar next to the Fonda?
Yeah.
Like it's like next to the Fonda Theater, right? The gastro pub bar. They have a little mini trough for it's a mini trough for two or three people.
It's cozy.
It's super fucking cramped. I you know like they put the ice in there so that the pee doesn't splash back. I saw a dude like
no.
I shit you
no,
not.
No, no,
he
no.
Put his yes. No. He was fucked up and I was washing my hands and it's like super tight. And I turned and he was like putting his hands in the ice so he could like wash his hands and shit. And I was like, oh damn. And I didn't have the heart to say anything. I was like, damn.
I can see Phil right now. He just sort of giggles to himself, looks at the dude and walks out the door.
I looked.
Tells
no,
everybody
I
in the bar except him.
And I was like, I go to our table and there's like four of us. And I'm like, yo, whatever you do, don't touch anything that motherfucker touches. And so I tell him and like, you know, some of our homies, they start laughing. But there's always that one homie's like, you mean that motherfucker washes his hands in the pee ice?
That's me.
That's Naveed. And Naveed, that's Naveed. He says it on purpose.
Hey, that's real talk, though. But see, the way
that
Naveed does it, he's way more slick about it, though. You know?
Naveed is? Yeah. Naveed is purposely not slick about it. He wants the dude to hear him say it.
No, but yeah, but it just, because like, you know,
but,
it seems natural for him to do it.
All right.
I do it in a way that doesn't make people want to fight me.
Bullshit. I call bullshit right now.
It's like
every time we go out.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. Naveed understands where the button is, the final button to push.
Yeah, and he loves hitting that button.
No, he does. He'll
I go right up into it.
Nah, man, but there's times like.
He's got.
Never really.
Oh, button. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
Exactly.
I'm not touching it.
Exactly.
Which makes you want to hit him even more than if you touch the button.
But you can. It's like the little brother. Like, you can't hit me.
I'll give you that. I've never seen you get hit, but I've seen a lot of people that wanted to. So,
that's
what you're saying.
Thankfully, I've never been hit. Right. And I'll probably cry if I do get hit, because I don't think I can take
a
punch.
That's exactly where I'm going with it, though. Like, he's never been, just knocked out off some shit like that. Like,
but I'm fucking 30. Like, I shouldn't even be worrying about that anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, that's real talk. But there's always going to be that one
But all three of us, Naveed's 30, I'm 34, Phil's like 48. Yeah. We all act like we're fucking 18 and roided
up.
Phil looks like he's 16 still.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's funny too, like, because when you see it happen, you can't help but feel sorry for the dude. But at the same time, when you see that kind of shit happen to other people, it's like, It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that sounds fucked up, but it's funny. Like, we saw this dude on the 4th of July weekend. Like, and we already called it, like, you know, he was that obnoxious motherfucker at the spot. And, like, he's a dude, like, even if the dude's with his girl, he'll still try to, like, holler. And I remember it took 10 minutes for me to like, look at our homies, like, that dude's going to get knocked out, I guarantee you, before we bounce from here. And literally 20 minutes later, he gets knocked out in the bathroom, and they drag him out and just leave him on the sidewalk.
Wow.
Right? We bounced from the spot.
He just wanted to take a nap. That's all he wanted to do.
I mean, that's what I thought, too. We bounced from the spot, and then, like, a couple hours later, we kind of walked by, and dude, like, all of a sudden got no shirt on. He got his shoes ganked. I was like, damn.
Wow.
That should be a lesson to you, man. Don't do that shit again.
I mean, but that's, like, common sense. You don't fucking hit on a dude's girl in front of him.
I mean, but some of those, you know, when some dudes are hella fucked up, they don't see that shit. It's like...
True.
Ah, tight, you know? Well, that's that, man. That's dumb shit. That's what happens.
Yep. Does talk happen. Shit, get hit.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Unless you're Naveed. And then talk all the shit you want, and people become your friend.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think that's a good, like, way to, like, really make friends, I feel, is just being a really hardcore shit talker. Because all of us do it.
Well, and,
but
and
you gotta
I think
be charming at the same time.
But what Naveed does really well is he is, I don't know, he makes the decision of who to talk shit to, knowing that if they can't take it, they're not going to be, you know, they're not worth keeping around.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think all of us do that.
No, sure. You have to know your audience.
You have to know your Absolutely. Audience, and you have to know, you know, if you're willing to talk shit and nobody wants to hear it, then you're probably in the wrong crowd.
Hey, when is Naveed going to start a stand-up tour? Because that motherfucker needs to go on tour, man. I think you would kill that shit, dude. And you wouldn't even have to write material. It would just be Naveed talking shit to people in the crowd.
Just telling stories.
Right. And
telling stories,
they would,
talking shit.
They would come to see that. Yeah.
I mean, I would come to see that shit. Like, that's just tight.
Right.
You've got the ends now.
Coming here.
You've got the ends now with Russell Peter and Jeff Dye and all the people you've been hanging out with lately.
I know. I hung out with them. They're like my homies now. Like, Jeff Dye legit follows me on Instagram and, like, likes my photos and shit.
That's amazing.
Like, that's my dude.
I saw him cuddling with George Foreman on a plane on Instagram this week. That's crazy.
They're in Asia right now.
That's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here.
With Terry Bradshaw and William Shatner also.
That is a random fucking group of people.
I guess they're doing some show for NBC. I don't know.
Okay.
Some shit. Regardless, it's not the Bermuda Triangle, so fuck
off. Well, talk to him. Maybe he can get all four of them on the podcast.
What's tight about what you guys are doing, though, is, like, I feel like it's you know, it's natural conversation, especially, and, like, those are things that you could take on the road, you know? Like, there's definitely, I mean, other than Jeff, you know, Jeremy and Naveed are very, like, charismatic, especially, like, just kind of shooting the shit, except for Jeff.
Yeah, if I didn't have the idea, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have been picked to be here.
I think that'd be.
That's how I get to hang out with the cool people, is I come up with the reasons to hang out, and then I get to be
Jeff,
there.
Jeff has a face for radio.
I do. His beard is glorious. I just wish it was on a better...
That is fucked.
On a better base structure.
Hey, hold on. This is off topic, but the Red Sox scored 22 runs today? What the fuck? How did that happen? The Red Sox?
Against who? Sorry.
Against Seattle.
Wow. Seattle's a pretty good
you,
team,
hey,
too.
I bet you they didn't start Panda. That's probably why they scored runs.
Probably. He's super worth the money now.
Yeah, super worth the money.
Anyways, we mentioned Jeremy, and for those that are wondering where he's at, he's still in fucking Germany. He's looking at castles and finding
unicorns.
They're
never
going to
let him back in the country.
No, he's trying to steal unicorn horns and find leprechauns and shit. I don't know. I've never been to Europe. I don't know what goes
on.
Well,
what's a German... What's a German leprechaun called?
I don't know.
Isn't that like Irish or Scottish?
Oh, that wasn't a joke. That
was
just
a
legitimate question.
No, that was actually a legit question.
It's probably still a leprechaun. We call it a leprechaun even if it's in Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, like, maybe they have a different name for that shit. I don't know.
Like, what do Chinese people call Chinese food? Like,
dinner.
They call it
dinner.
Panda, yeah. Panda Express.
Fucking whatever their dog's name is. I don't know.
Oh.
No offense, Phil.
Damn, son. That's fucked up.
And just so everybody knows, that was even more fucked up right there because Phil's not Chinese.
Yeah.
No offense, Phil, because you're Asian, you must be Chinese.
I mean, I'll be the token. It's all good.
What are you, though, for the listeners?
I'm Filipino.
Filipino.
He's Filipino. He's the Mexican of Asia.
Oh, man. Don't start me. Don't get me started on the accents. That's going to be terrible.
Yeah, I know it is.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. Do one.
Wait.
Nah. I got to say. I'm trying to point with my nose like most Filipino people do. Like,
yeah, you got to. Hey, close the light over there. Over close there. The light. Philip, close the light.
Philip.
Shit.
Philip, what's wrong?
Wait.
Shit.
Tito.
Hey, I just thought about this too. You know, we were talking about ballers earlier, but did you trip off the fact that dude is Denzel Washington's son?
Who is?
Who?
The wide receiver.
Ricky Jarrett?
Jerry?
Yeah.
No way.
Why? Well, I'm going to pull it up right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was talking to John David Washington.
Yeah, last name Washington. Son. I now believe you. That's
no
crazy.
Wonder he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
on
he's
there.
By far one of the best characters on that show.
Yeah, I just tripped off that. Like, I was taking an Uber back from like downtown out here, and a dude happened to know. Like, we started talking about TV shows, and he was like, for 20 minutes, talked about like how that's fucking dude's son.
How do you say that for 20 minutes?
He just kept talking about like he's gonna have an amazing career. All blah right. blah. And I'm like, okay, that's tight.
Was that his agent giving you an Uber ride?
Or, like, he's probably, like, I don't know, maybe he was going to try to do some weird gay shit to me, but, you know, whatever.
I mean.
What? Yeah, I never,
What kind of Uber rides do you take?
Yeah, that's a.
To tell you the truth, that could be a whole episode of just weird Uber drivers in, like, just in the Hollywood area. Because I've had some.
That's fair. Uber's crazy out there.
Some fucked up ones, man. This is my shout out to Lyft and the sidecar. You guys are safe. Every time I had to take an Uber, I've had some fucked up, like...
Can you give us an example?
But they're good and bad.
I got two...
Good and bad.
Two really good examples. I took an Uber one time, and I could just, for the life of me, couldn't handle it. First off, there's hardly any taxis out here anymore.
Not anymore.
Couldn't get a Lyft, couldn't get a sidecar, so I hit Uber. And I was really, like, contemplating, like, fuck, it's surge pricing. I could walk the 6 miles back to the spot, or I could just fucking...
Or pay the $80.
Nah, it was, like, $30-something, but... Whatever. But the dude, when he opened the door of the car, like, he must have hotboxed the shit because the smoke came out. And I was like, fuck no. I'm not getting that fucking car, dude. And then the most recent Uber ride that I had, though, that was really fucking crazy was, I guess the dude, he was at a bar. And then, like, he turned his Uber thing on or whatever the fuck he used to, like, get people on. Like... as he was leaving. So he was fucked up. You know, and it's one of those things you're like, I'm fucking drunk. The other people that we take the ride with are hella drunk. And then my homeboy who was sitting in the front, he kind of looks at me, trying to signal me to like kind of like look over at him. And the dude was like, you know, we're not paying attention. I'm half asleep in the back of the car. It's like 2:30. And he's literally making this motion like this dude is like fucking drunk. And it's like, you can't just tell the dude, like, can we just hop out the car? Like, he was just, like, really one of those, like, super quiet. I feel like he was just trying to, like,
focus
on the fact that he's fucked up. And I'm like, yo, like, we should just hop out the car at the next light. You know, like, we're texting each other and shit. We bounced out the car. Like, we hit a red light.
Wow.
And we just boned out, dude. Like, hey.
Damn.
But it's like, yo, man, like, first off, if you're a driver, most of the drivers I've had, they've been pretty safe. I've had a couple, like, weird instances like those. But, like, don't you feel like endangering people's lives is a good reason to not turn on the service, like, when you're driving? Like,
I mean, that's the whole reason.
That's the whole reason for having
using that service.
Like, yeah. I don't want to get pulled over by the cops because you're the one who's taking me home and I'm paying you for and you're drunk. Like, that's not – that ain't cool.
Yeah, no.
I have had an awesome Uber experience, and it was actually with Jeff when we were down in L.A. We got a – SUV and the dude ended up offering us some like Johnny Walker.
That's exactly what the story I was going to bring up. We got a big SUV. Somebody had a big like Escalade SUV of some kind. Had a cooler.
It was after hours.
After hours, it was going on like 3 in the morning. We asked him where to go. He gave us like 4 different options of clubs that were open late night. The dude popped open the trunk, pulled out a cooler, and gave us a bottle to pass around. Like, and it wasn't shit. It was like he gave us shot glasses and a bottle of Johnny Walker.
Blue Label.
Yeah, it was good shit. And
what did you guys save his Uber contact? That's kind of tight.
Yeah, he gave us his card.
One of us did actually.
He gave us his card, and we called him when we left.
I think Jeremy was there too, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was the birthday trip. Yeah,
yeah.
You guys trip you guys out?
Didn't what?
Like, well, you guys weren't fucking scared and shit.
No, the dude was super chill. He was cool,
dude. It was the best roofie drink ever.
Yeah,
that's tight, dude.
I don't remember what happened last night, and I never made it home. But it was an amazing Uber ride.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the night ended up being like really weird and shitty, but that might have been from the roofie that he gave us.
I think the club we decided to go to was asking like $80 a head to get into the club for the late night party. So we just bounced and went and kicked it back at the spot, but.
And it was nothing but weirdos there,
yeah,
too.
It was all
like
the
fucking weirdos.
Where was it at? Where was it at?
Right by Capitol Records.
I know the spot. I think I know what you're talking about. It's like open to like 4.
It was like open to like 6.
But it opens at like 3.
It opens at, 3. Like they do the normal party and then they shut down at 2, get everybody out, and bring people back at 3 for like after hour shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. That's.
But yeah, $80. It was something insane for everybody. So yeah, we just weren't going to do
it.
Right.
That was a good trip.
That was a good one. Magic Mountain, late nights, partying, good food. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Hell yeah, great food.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, Phil had to go to Coachella. He couldn't make it.
That's right.
Some of us had to work in the desert.
I feel real bad for you. Having to work Coachella.
Hey, man, I'm telling you right now, working that shit is not all it's cracked up to be.
No, I know.
All right, here. Would you rather work Coachella or Stagecoach?
Stagecoach, hands down. Straight up.
Yeah?
I work both of them. Stagecoach, way more fun. Plus?
Less stress, less people.
Nah,
better environment.
That's not what he was going to say. Go ahead,
see,
Phil.
Cowgirls, man.
That's what I meant by environment.
Yeah, trust me, way more fun.
Yeah, and
like you go to,
and that crowd likes to drink rather than drop pills and get like crazy fucked up, right?
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that either. I'm not gonna judge anyone's lifestyles here, but
well, not judging a lifestyle, but it's a different type of party.
It's legit. It's different. It's way different. Yeah, for sure. I'm into it. Stagecoach, go buy a ticket.
Promoting even though he's not working.
Hey, no, man. I fucks with that. I still got folks that work over there. I gotta make sure that they're good.
For sure. I think it's about that time where we should be
we're about wrapping
up shortly. Before we go, Phil, since you are like the social media guru and kind of been in the industry for a minute, do you have any advice for anybody kind of trying to up and come?
Well, I got to drop something real quick. Phil says he's not a social media guru, but I haven't experienced his social media guru-ness. We went to a friend's band's show at the Viper Room in LA, and Phil shows up. He does one little thing on Instagram. It's cool. Says at the Viper Room. It tags the right people, tags the right location, gives the right hashtag. He shows up on the board at the Viper Room.
Oh, yeah.
Of a sudden, he does 2 more, and he's up on the board, and all of a sudden, he's showing me his metrics, how he's the number one tweeting or Instagrammer in all of West LA or some bullshit. Like, it was insane.
I think it was just that particular instance, because, you know, you got to kind of know when to post. A lot of it's timing. There's straight up, like, you could read books about this shit from what I'm kind of, like, experiencing now, but... Number one thing, don't buy your followers. I think if you let it be organic, it's a lot easier to grow your following. And the funny thing is, I can't do that. It's hard. It's one of those things that I could do this for a brand, But like, it's like, and I'm sure Jeff and you could probably speak on this too. Like, when you have to make your own website and keep your own portfolio up, it's so much harder to do that shit for yourself than it is to do it for like a client or a brand. You know, like you can look at my numbers and you know they're decent for what I do, but you know the brands that we work with, we can we put together campaigns and roll out and like you know, one thing don't buy or it's easy to do it. You know, like we actually have an account that I use that just to see how legit that kind of shit is. We've tested that stuff out and it never, you don't want to be that dude that like bought 1,000 followers, you get a following and then you lose those 1,000 followers because they're bots. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like best times to post 9 a.m. All right. 9 a.m. start, like you do that midday post 4 or 5 o'clock, like right when people are getting out and checking their shit at work. And then you do one like at 9 or 12 o'clock. And what that does is it spaces your social media out to different time zones, and you're also hitting if you want a West Coast centric audience, then you're definitely you want that lunchtime hit, you want the morning hit because that's what people are doing when they're on the bus or commuting, bar or whatever. Yeah. And you know, I hate to say this shit, man, but it's you can't not deny using like really obtuse hashtags. Like, you know, photo of the day, you know, like I find like for myself and most of the stuff I shoot now, like on my Instagram is mainly like street art and artists now, just because that's what interests me. But using those tags and kind of following what the trends are there typically is a better, it's an organic growth for what you, if you're trying to build your social media audience, I feel anyway. But yeah, also if you're at LA tonight, go check out Grad Star Jazz Club. My boy Jimbo Jenkins is out there.
Is that tonight Saturday?
You do realize that we're not posting by the time this like airs, it's gonna be over.
Oh well, shit. But yeah, but he does this like I'll link you guys up with him too because I think he'd be dope for your show. But they do like these weird like themed like hip hop and R&B events, and like this one is like all 90s. Female hip hop artists,
tight.
So like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's,
that's a cool
aren't doing
thing.
Stuff like that anymore. That's dope.
And that's kind of like So Super Sam doing the 143 stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Totally like right up on that. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, man.
Nice. Well,
well, let's finish up. Phil is @phil_enn.
Yeah. Take my thunder, Jeff. Yeah. There you go. I was just gonna ask him to drop that down, but.
Also, we should do a live one, like, in the same room one time.
Yeah, if we ever get in the same room. Right now, we are currently
in Vancouver,
Bay Area, Jeff's LA. Yeah, I'm international these days.
Hey, Navid, let's go to Vancouver.
Dude, come up here for snowboarding season.
Vancouver is tight, dude. That's top 5 cities that I've ever got to work in. Vancouver is definitely up
there. Vancouver is one of my favorite cities I've ever been in. The Bay Area is fantastic. LA was cool as hell.
Yeah.
But Vancouver's
it's a good I feel like Vancouver's a good mix of like LA, New York and Los Angeles, and it's not as like bougie.
It's got a really a cool European vibe, and like people, you know, you can chill outside, it's super safe, it's clean. It's pretty dope.
If you're single,
a lot of culture.
For those of you that are single, Vancouver, that's the spot.
The scenery is amazing. I got to put that out there. So
hey, for the listeners, before Jeff said that, he definitely had to kind of look around.
I'm married.
She's
sorry,
not
ladies.
Listen to this. Oh, Kaz, they're worried about that.
And Phil, sorry, yeah, Phil,
for sure.
Phil, drop your social medias one more time for the listeners.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Phil @PHIL_ENN. You know. Hit me up on an email if you want to ask questions about anything that we talked about. It's heyget@me.com.
Clever.
I still can't
Very
believe
clever.
I still can't believe that we got
That's
that.
Amazing.
I remember Navid saying, hey.
You got that as soon as they dropped
that
at
the me.com
accounts.
Navid came in. I think Navid came in and he was like, yo, the me.com things are live. So we all ran. Like,
yeah, everybody in the store ran to a computer, tried to get what they could.
Yeah.
That was the best benefit of working at Apple was getting those handles.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
What is the other email address, Phil, for Jeff taking third place all the time?
Are we going to use a? Let's use a. Y'all's social media. Are we going to do a? At Bromuda Tripod.
At Bromuda Tripod, and just let it be known why Jeff sucks.
They don't all have to be shitty names either. They can be cool ones. They can be clever ones.
They won't be.
They won't be.
None of those will get picked though.
You guys get to choose my name. Let's put it out there. You're choosing my fantasy football name, and we'll do fantasy football updates. We'll keep them to a minimum, but we'll do some fantasy football updates on the Instagrams and tweets. And again, at Bromuda Tripod. David's at No Standards. I'm at GDUQ, GDuke. And
Definitely No Standards, though. That's real
tough. Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That fits.
That's one of my favorite, like, straight-up handles of all the homies. That's, like, that's right up there in the
that's,
top.
That's definitely
it's the easiest to remember, too.
Yeah, for sure.
You tell people, and you're like, hey, follow me. And they're like, all right, what's your name? And I'm like, at No Standards. And they kind of pause, and they look at me like, are you serious right now?
I mean, like, it's like, it's one of those things I want to be around when you flip that to somebody, because that person will, like, for sure will be like, what the fuck? For
that's,
real? Like,
that's pretty awesome.
And they always remember it.
Yeah, that's easy to follow. So,
Better when No Standards likes your photo.
Yep.
It's kind of ironic.
That's.
Yo, that's fuck.
This photo meets the standards of at No Standards. That's I like awesome. That. I like where that's at.
Right on.
All right, well, that's a good spot to end.
Right on, y'all.
Pleasure to have you, Phil. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you,
a
Phil.
Third time.
Appreciate it.
We actually got to record it this
actually
time.
Actually, made it. Let's not jinx it.
Oh yeah, let's not jinx it.
Everybody, save your shit. My
saving
is still
it definitely.
Naveed's saved.
Mine is too.
Phil's saved. All right, we're gonna do it.
Warn them up.
All right,
see you guys.
All right, later.
Peace.